that sweet aroma. I'm bold and beautiful. I can hardly wait to taste. Early morning, Scott Harold on the radio is about to make my day.
Stephen Curtis Chapman is no stranger to the Christian music scene. He's been singing and recording for over 30 years. He's the most awarded artist in Christian music with like 58 Dove Awards and 5 Grammys, and hanging out with us this morning. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good. Doing good. How are you, my brother?
Doing great. You've been traveling all over the country. You got the SCC solo tour going on. It's like the fourth year.
It is the fourth season, I guess, technically. A couple of years now of just doing something that I have been loving very, very much and enjoying it, and thankful that I'm getting to come before I wrap it up, because this is going to be the final season, I guess, of this tour, at least in this form. But man, it's been hard to stop because I've been enjoying it so much. And fortunately, it seems like folks coming have been enjoying it almost as much as I have, which is always good.
So you describe it as solo. What's the ideal behind that?
Well, the idea of this SCC solo, which of course, you know, the SCC, I guess after 30 plus years now of writing my name in full form, Stephen Curtis Chapman, maybe I've just decided I'm going to abbreviate it and just kind of give us all a break a little bit, you know, from the whole thing. It seemed like a great idea. It was the only thing I could come up with when 32 years ago I had a problem with my name being confused with the other Steve Chapman, who was writing songs at that time in Nashville. He and his wife, Annie Chapman, some might remember through the years, did a lot of work with James Dobson and Focus on the Family and all of that. But I needed something to separate me. So I came up with the idea, brilliant idea of, hey, well, I'll just use my whole name, Stephen Curtis Chapman. You know, never knowing how many times I was going to have to sign the autographs and all of that, which, you know, it's been a wonderful thing. That's a lot. It's a mouthful. But the idea honestly started when I started writing my book. Came out a couple of years ago, Between Heaven and the Real World. And really just, I wanted to kind of turn that story that was really profound for me, just kind of the remembering process, you know, going through the process of telling my story, going back and retracing my steps, was such a kind of profound thing that I thought I'd love to kind of do this in a musical version of this, and kind of grab my guitar and throw it over my back and say, hey, let's go on an adventure. Come on, go with me. Let me tell you the stories along the way. And that's kind of what this concert has become. You know, it's little video clips and pictures and all of that to kind of take people all the way back to the beginning of my life, actually, and say, this is where it all started in Paducah, Kentucky. And here's the first song I learned on the guitar as a 6-year-old kid. And, you know, as I was falling in love with music, and then when I began to follow Jesus and how that influenced my music, and then met my wife and our children and our journey, the mountains and the valleys, and, you know, just so many of those songs, from what I've heard from people over the years, are kind of a soundtrack for their journey as well in their life. And it's really been a special tour just to be able to kind of take people on that journey and remember not only where we've been, but where we're going, which obviously for us as pilgrims of faith, as we are, we got to keep remembering where we're going and that we're not home yet and all of that. It's so important, and it's what has inspired my songs all these years. So it's kind of been a special tour to just get to take people on that journey.
So what was that first song that you learned how to master on the guitar?
Very first song you will hear at this concert if you come. So this is a little teaser. Folsom Prison Blues, Johnny Cash.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the great songs of all time.
You were talking about where we were and where we're going, and it seems like this generation today is probably the first generation that doesn't see the world as getting better than it did for their parents' generation, the generation before that. It's kind of interesting how we're in this place where hope isn't necessarily looking forward for a lot of Americans right now.
Well, I think it's one of the realities that give us who have hope, the hope of God's promises, not just someday off in heaven when we finally get there, but that's a hope that shows up in our lives every day if we keep holding on to it, if we keep remembering it, keep anchoring our hearts to it. Scripture talks about we have this hope as an anchor. And obviously people who know my story and know my family and the journey we've been on these last almost 11 years now, with our youngest daughter going to heaven 11 years ago, this coming May, that hope is what kept us breathing and kept us taking the next step. And in circumstances that sometimes are just feel so hopeless. And so I think that's what not only I have, but all of us as believers, we have that hope that keeps us not only moving forward, but we got to share that and keep telling that story, because the world has never needed it more than they do now. You know, I love that. That's what Christian music does. That's what I'm thankful you guys keep doing on the radio station there, and keep sharing that hope through the airwaves. And it is a dark time, but it is a time that hope is, the saying always says, when the sky is the darkest, the light star shines the brightest. And so it's a great opportunity for us to just keep being alive with the hope that we have.
Talking to Stephen Curtis Chapman on Essex Radio today. So you and Mary Beth have been married since like 1984, after that tragedy that your family faced back in 2008. You two had to really get strategic and working together to stay together. I mean, the stats just show 90% of couples who experience tragedy often find a big rift that's really hard to heal. What was the part of that that you and Mary Beth were talking about as you were trying to keep hope for front and center for yourself, but then talk about it as a couple? Because that's even different than managing it in your own heart.
Oh, absolutely. It is a journey that we are on and will be until we get home, until we see Jesus and see our little girl again, you know, and that's a reality that we carry with us. And all of us do, you know, some level. I mean, loss and longing and ache, because we're not home yet. And I think one of the hardest things is, for so many of us who grew up, as I did, in an era of, there was a thing that we heard said over and over again, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And that was kind of the gospel message that I heard preached over and over again. It is true. It's foundationally true. God does love us more than we can ever know, and he has an incredible plan and purpose for our life. But sometimes when we hear it, it's like, it's a wonderful plan that's all going to be wonderful and good. And some of the old hymns that we even sang, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, but it's just going to get better and better and better. And then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, I'm in this journey that is, there's an enemy trying to take me out at every turn. We defeat an enemy, but a real formidable foe, you know, a real enemy. And I got to keep knowing that and remember that. And in marriage and in life, especially in marriage, nothing is attacked like the marriage, you know, of believers, because that's what God gave us to give us the clearest picture of our relationship with him. So, of course, there's an enemy that's going to try to take it out. And as you said, I mean, especially when you walk through tragedy and the loss of a child, in a marriage, that's devastating. And my wife and I are absolutely, have experienced that, the depths of how are we going to make it? And are we going to make it? Are we going to survive this? You grieve differently. And the trauma from that is so impacting on so many layers and so many levels. And you can't just stick Bible verses and Band-Aids on it, you know, and just sweep it under the rug and say, hey, but God's good all the time. And all the time God is good. You know, all those things that sometimes, you know, we want to say and do say, but it has been the grace of God. It's been being honest about that longing and that ache and that journey. It's been the ongoing counsel of many around us, friends and pastors and counselors and people speaking into our lives and praying for us. And it's an ongoing journey. You know, the thing about it, we know and realize, is it's not like, hey, we finally got over that. We got through that. You know, we continue to have to trust God every morning. We wake up and his mercies are new. You know, all right, we're going to take those new mercies and we're going to head out on the journey again together. We're going to hold hands, lock arms. By his grace, we're going to keep journeying together.
Yeah, what's so good about it is that he walks with us through it. He doesn't just make us deal with it, you know. And so we're talking to Stephen Curtis Chapman on SOS Radio today. He's going to be sharing some of those stories. He's going to be sharing some of that music that he wrote through those stories. And this is the fourth year of this. It's coming through Flagstaff on Friday, March the 29th. It's going to be in Palm Desert on Wednesday, April the 10th. It's going to be in L.A. on Friday, April the 12th. And in Boise on Saturday, April the 27th. This should be fun.
Yes. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. Good to see you, brother.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
Tell a friend and connect.
SOSradio.net.